Crusade Channel News. News you can trust because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Good morning. This is Celeste Youngblood coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau with your headlines at this hour on this Wednesday, October 4th, 2017. Las Vegas trauma nurses describe their experiences after Sunday's mass shooting, and in today's Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, the saint known as Il Poverello. Clark County, Nevada Sheriff Joseph Lombardo gave another press conference update yesterday. And now that Amazon has bought out Whole Foods, how are other grocery retailers faring out? Stories continue to pour in about people's experiences during and following Sunday night's mass shooting on the Las Vegas Strip. In this newscast, I wish to highlight the experiences of trauma nurses. Tony Mullen, a trauma nurse from the University Medical Center, spoke to the Associated Press.
I pulled up, and first of all, it was a challenge to get here because roads were blocked. We, luckily, showing our badges, were able to get in. It was like chaos. There's no words to describe it, but people were all over the place. We had, when I first arrived, there were at least 32 people in this trauma center. In the hallway, there were chairs. Outside, we had chairs. People that were able to sit in the chairs, we had them. We have 11 spots for gurneys. We had probably 20 gurneys in here. So trying to figure out, and like Brad said, mobilizing a plan to maximize the space was important, and that's what we did together and accomplished it quite well.
Julie Anderson, also a trauma nurse at the University Medical Center, describes what it was like for her.
Well, you run on adrenaline from the time you hit the door because you see people that are literally crying. You see family members that don't have any hope. You see 16-year-olds without parents. And you just try not to think about that at the time. Your job is to stabilize and get them what they need and then move on to the next task. And when that's all done, then you have a chance to sit and think about or reflect and hug your teammate. It wasn't the volume as much as it was walking into something and just knowing one person is responsible for this and how could this happen. And, it's crazy to think that that one moment is going to change the way people view Las Vegas.
God bless the nurses. Today's quote of the day comes from St. Francis of Assisi. Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible. Coming up after the break in Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor St. Francis of Assisi. You're listening to Crusade News.
Hey folks, have you ever heard the old adage, you need to wake up and smell the coffee? Well, it's true, and I'm here to ask you to make sure the coffee you wake up to and smell is the Crusade Channel's very own gourmet blend, Crusade Capuchin Dark Roast. Our coffee is custom roasted from the finest fair trade coffee beans and is bagged for us by the Heavenly Roast Coffee Company. Order your supply of Crusade Capuchin Dark Roast today by browsing to mikechurch.com/coffee. And don't forget the Crusade Channel coffee mugs. Place your order for delicious gourmet Crusade Channel coffee today at mikechurch.com/coffee or call 844-5-CRUSADE.
Born in 1181 in Assisi, Francesco Bernardone grew up comfortable and wealthy and was a charismatic, well-liked figure. He fell in as the leader of a group of wild young people, saying of this time in his life, "I lived in sin." He dreamed of being a knight, but while fighting the war against neighboring Perugia, he was captured and imprisoned for a year in a dungeon. Returning home, he again resumed his life of revelry and awaited his next opportunity for wartime glory. A day after he departed for the Fourth Crusade with his new horse and suit of armor, he was sent a dream from God telling him to return home, and he did in disgrace, receiving much scorn from his father and the villagers. He returned to working for his father, spending increasing amounts of time in prayer and solitude. One day, while at the old church in San Damiano, Francesco heard God tell him to repair his church. Francesco would go on to renounce his patrimony and his father's wealth and would receive a call from God to rebuild his church. Ordained a deacon, he preached the message of returning to God and obedience to the church. Francesco was eventually joined by men seeking their sanctification through poverty and obedience. This was the beginning of the Franciscan Order. In his final years, Francesco, who had received the stigmata, would go blind and suffer the effects of his years of poverty and wandering. He died in 1226 at the age of 45. St. Francis, pray for us. Clark County Sheriff Joseph Lombardo held another press conference yesterday in which he detailed some of the new developments in the investigation into Sunday night's massacre, courtesy of the Associated Press.
I assure you this investigation is not ended with the demise of Mr. Paddock. I can't tell you her current whereabouts right now. All I know is the Philippines, and we are in conversation. Apparently, she's a person of interest. The girlfriend. You know, you heard me say that we're comfortable that we have the suspect in the custody, but something more may come of that investigation. And I want to understand the motivation that you describe, okay, to prevent any future incidents. And, you know, did this person get radicalized unbeknownst to us? And we want to identify that source. I'm not aware of any transmission, but there was cameras. There was cameras located in outside of the room and inside of the room, along with the firearms.
And he had set up how many cameras?
What are the modifications associated with the weaponry? ATF is participating in that evaluation. I can't give you an answer on whether any of them are automatic or not, but we are aware of a device called a bump stock. And that enables an individual to speed up the discharge of ammunition. I don't want to give you any more details on that, but in partner with the FBI, the ATF, they are sending those weapons back east to the FBI crime lab for further evaluation.
We will have more of a profile about person of interest Mary Lou Danley in the 8 a.m. newscast. What we do know right now is that Stephen Paddock had sent her to the Philippines weeks before the shootings and that he had wired $100,000 to the Philippines days before the massacre, but the reason why is unclear. She has returned to the United States and will be speaking with investigators to hopefully shed some light on this horrific situation. It has been over a month since the August 28th acquisition of Whole Foods by Amazon. From the first day, prices on foods were lowered, and a New York Times shopper showed readers how he saved 14% on his bill post-acquisition. Reuters' Fred Katayama reports on how this is affecting other grocery retailers.
Woe for Joe? Amazon's price cuts at the retailer it acquired, Whole Foods, has pulled in more customers, and the biggest defectors organic grocery chain pulled in came from Trader Joe's and Sprouts Farmers Market. Data analytics firm Thasos Group says 10% of Trader Joe's regular customers visited Whole Foods between August 28th and September 16th. 8% of Sprouts customers also went for a peek. Thasos CEO Greg Smisky said, Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods has the potential to be a game changer in the grocery space. But when it comes to sources of new customers for Whole Foods, Thasos says the crown goes to Walmart. Nearly one-fourth of the new shoppers Whole Foods pulled in after the price cuts came from America's largest retailer. Runners-up were Kroger, Costco, and Target. The price cuts, however, did not pull in a new demographic outside of its traditional upper-income shopper. Nor, says Thasos, did that convince customers to drive from afar just to pay a visit.
In this Celestial Musings, Crux reports that Cardinal Kevin Farrell, prefect of the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life, delivered the keynote address at the Faith and Life Convention in Belfast at the end of September. During his address, he said that parishes need to establish study groups focused on Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia, and then train couples to teach, prepare, guide, and accompany married couples. The cardinal said that priests, and I quote, have no credibility when it comes to living the reality of marriage, even though they may know the principles, the philosophy, and the theology. About his call to have lay couples offering marriage preparation, I think that this is a fantastic idea. My sister and her husband do this, and any couple who works with them is blessed indeed. On the other hand, my sister and her husband received their marriage formation from a Monsignor, and he did a mighty fine job with that. I think that the quality of a couple's marriage preparation is not dependent on whether or not it's received from a priest or a married couple. The quality of a couple's marriage preparation is dependent on the faithfulness and experience of the one offering the preparation and their faithfulness to church teaching. Frankly, I think a two-pronged approach would be even better, formation from both a member of the clergy and from a trained, experienced married couple. Send me your news tips at news@veritasradionetwork.com. Stay tuned to the Veritas Radio Network for king-size truth from radio-sized speakers. Coming up next, The Mike Church Show. Celeste Youngblood signing off for the Crusade Channel. Serving you, serving truth.
You've just heard Crusade Channel News. Live on your news, talk, and saints leader, the Crusade Channel. And did you know that all newscasts are available as podcasts on CrusadeChannel.com and on our free app available in the Google Play and iTunes stores? Surprised?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted.